Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The minds and the hearts of many of God's people are preparing to celebrate the anniversary of the birth of the reformer Martin Luther. And we are doing the same here, and especially this week, your chapel services this and next leading up to November 10th are directed toward the six chief parts. Not that they were Martin Luther's, they were not. They were God's. But yet he spent much time and much effort in his own personal life in ministry trying to help people to better understand those vital parts of God's teaching for mankind. This morning we look briefly at the first chief part, the law, the Ten Commandments. We've sung about them, we've heard them read from God's Word. We've learned them, we've memorized them, and we intend to teach them. They are a part of us. They are a very important part of God's Word. But is the law valid today? Is the law of that great importance to the church that we must be very careful to speak plainly and clearly what God expects of his children? And we who have studied God's Word, we who continue to hold God's Word in our hands, know full well that it is valid and it must be applied to the lives of God's people. We have learned and we continue to hold dear in our hearts that without sin guiltiness, there is no blood righteousness. That the Savior of mankind came down into the world to redeem man and woman from their sins. And unless people know of those sins, unless they feel a sorrow within their hearts for having offended the holiness of their God, what good is a Savior? We know that in our minds. We've been taught it. But I'm afraid that in our day and age, in this 20th century, into which you and I have been called to preach the message of God, that we too often fall into the particular problem of accommodation. We hear a lot about the accommodation which may take place in the purity of God's Word and in the doctrine of the church. And well, we should. But it is also as vitally important that we talk and recognize the accommodation that is too often taking place, not just because we have the purity of the Word, but rather in the application of that Word into the lives of God's people. We are living in a world that is filled with permissiveness. We wonder who in the classroom who is in charge. Are the teachers in charge? Our students in charge. We learn of permissiveness in our legal system in the courts today, and we have to wonder who is protected by the law, the innocent or the guilty? And we must ask within ourselves, within the church, do the people of God know what God is speaking to them, or have we fallen into that same trap of permissiveness? So that is to say that we just let sin exist. How could we be so thoughtless? not to care enough for our people to show them that sin brings death. And that it is only as we recognize the fact that we need Jesus Christ and all he has done for us to remove from us all sin guiltiness, that the blood on the cross shed for you and me becomes an experience of life. There is but one other alternative, as difficult as it may seem at times, and that is to speak as God has spoken to us. There was a man who lived in a rural community a number of years ago. And if you know rural communities, very often, and even yet today, they are very close to one another. The people relate to one another, probably because in most cases they are, in fact, blood related to one another. This particular individual one evening became very drunk. And as he left the bar and proceeded to get into his automobile, and you and I know the results of drinking and driving, the same happened with him. He hit no less than 3 new automobiles from the new car dealership across the street from the bar and ended up in the living room of a home not too far away. Because people did not want to see this man get into trouble with the law, because they had pity on him, they quickly whisked him away and took him home and put him in bed to sleep off his drunken stupor. Now there was a problem, because there were 3 damaged cars and a home. And so they proceeded to call the law enforcement officers, and then to put sin upon sin, they informed them that there was a driver who had come through town, and he hit and ran from the scene of the accident. Now, can you imagine a people who say that they love so much and yet would not hold accountable that man for his actions? As far as he knew, when he awakened the next morning, if he remembered anything that had happened, it was okay, because it had been condoned by those around him. And I wonder if too often we don't do the same thing through our own permissiveness. That poor man. The law of God must be applied to the lives of God's people. But 2 thoughts. How must it be applied? Psychologists tell us that an inappropriate punishment is often worse than no punishment at all. And so very often, even we as preachers of the gospel of Christ have gotten so caught up in the psychology of being a pastor to our people that we have forgotten that it is not we who are talking to our people, but God through us. That we must be bold enough to take God's word in our hands and to speak it even as it has been spoken unto us, and trust fully that God will touch the lives of those individuals so that they might know and accept the forgiveness which he would offer to them. Secondly, the law of God must always be spoken in love, not in vindication, not in vindictiveness, but rather as God has spoken his word to us, and that must be clear in all of our minds. That is the purpose for which God has called us, so that we might even through the law know of his love. That's how he has spoken to us. But I wonder if it's happening. A moment ago, a passage was read from the 20th chapter of Exodus, and it enumerated for us the law, the Ten Commandments. But there are a couple of other verses which follow directly after those that were read, which are very important for our application. From verse 18 to 21, we hear these words. When the people heard the thunder and the trumpet blast and saw the lightning and the smoking mountain, they trembled with fear and stood a long way off. They said to Moses, "If you speak to us, we will listen. But we are afraid that if God speaks to us, we will die." Moses replied, "Don't be afraid. God has only come to test you and to make you keep on obeying him so that you will not sin." But the people continued to stand a long way off, and only Moses went near the dark cloud where God was. That particular word of God says, there is good news and there is bad news. The good news is that God cares. The good news is that he wants to relate to his people even through the law, to encourage them to know and to feel and experience his love. The good news is that he has chosen you and me to be the messengers of that love. The bad news is, too often we're being misunderstood, or we are not speaking plainly enough. Moses tried to convince those people that they didn't need to fear God. He wasn't afraid. He went into the presence of God, but it wasn't coming through. And if there is anything that you and I as 20th century preachers must learn, it is that the law indeed must be applied to our people, but in the end, when we're done preaching, the law having been spoken in all of the boldness that God places into our hearts, they must understand that God cares. How do you do that? Let's take one example. Let's take one commandment. The third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You and I are faced with a problem. A problem in our churches of delinquency. A problem of people who want to join an organization, a church, and too often could care less about worshiping their Lord. That is sin. How do you deal with it? How does one cope with that sin within the church? How does one come across to their people that God speaks the words of worship and the study of his word in love? Scripture tells us that sometimes the world is more wise than we in the church. I belong to an organization in town, the Rotary Club. And when I joined that organization a number of years ago, it was made quite clear to me that if I missed more than 3 meetings in a row, I was out. Or if I did not attend at least 60% of the meetings, I was out. That's the law. But you know, that wasn't the most important part. The most important part is why. And they have made it quite clear to me and to the other members of that club that it is because they want us. They need our presence, that we have something to offer, that we have something to receive as we relate to one another in that organization. I feel loved. I feel no threat. from them saying, if you don't, then. I wonder if we'd ever try that in the church. The only reason we don't, I'm afraid, is because we are not conveying the love of God in Christ. For even though God speaks words of the law, he does it in a way which demonstrates his love. Now, you're going to have to cope with that. And that not only applies to the third commandment, but applies to each and every one of them, 1 through 10. And so it's not enough to learn the Ten Commandments. It's not enough to commit them to memory. One has to go that step further and say, now how am I going to apply it? So they see God's love in all of its fullness. A very important part of that first chief part of God's will in our lives. May God bless your continued studies, but may he bless you as he blessed Solomon with all wisdom to take that word and use it as God has intended. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.